But I want you to think about what living victoriously means. How can we see it? How can we attain it? Well, a lot of it comes from knowledge, okay? Once we gain knowledge, that's a wonderful thing. There's a lot of knowledgeable people out there in the world. Academia is filled with knowledgeable people. That doesn't mean they're smart. It doesn't mean that they know how to use it, but they have a lot of knowledge. Because if you have knowledge but yet have not wisdom, you have folly, okay? And I want us to understand, God wants us to have knowledge, but God wants us to have something even greater. In fact, in the Psalms, he calls it one of the greatest riches, that we should seek wisdom, okay? That is the reality of taking the knowledge that you have, okay? And I've tried to teach this to our youth. In fact, I pick on Charles about it all the time. You may have a lot of knowledge, but you have no wisdom, because he doesn't have the years behind him to understand how to put that knowledge into practice. Amen? And I ain't never been there. I was always filled with wisdom. Yeah. I had knowledge, but little wisdom. So today I'm going to try to teach you some knowledge in the hopes that through it you will gain wisdom in how to appropriate these things of God. So to that, our first sermon in this series is entitled, Living Victoriously, Your Problems Are No Match for God. You know, sometimes we forget that. Sometimes we think beyond that. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Mark. For those of you who are going through the adult Bible study, this is going to seem familiar to you, because we just went over this a little bit ago. And we're in the fifth chapter of the book of Mark. And we're going to just about, well, yeah, we're going to read this first section here, which in my scriptures is called the Gerasene demoniac, okay? And so when we're looking at this, we're going to be looking at something, because all of us have problems, and they're horrible, they're bad, they're terrible. But I want you to think about your life in comparison to this poor guy, okay, and where this guy is. So from the book of Mark, I'm going to be reading through verses 1 through 10, and then we're going to speak a little bit. Chapter 5, in the book of Mark. Beginning in the first verse through the 10th verse. And they came to the other side of the sea, into the country of Gerasenes. And when he got out of the boat, immediately a man from the tombs with an unclean spirit met him. And he had his dwelling among the tombs, and no one was able to bind him anymore, even with chains, because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been torn apart by him, and the shackles broken in pieces, and no one was strong enough to subdue him. Constantly, night and day, he was screaming among the tombs and in the mountains, and gashing himself with stones. Seeing Jesus from a distance, he ran up and bowed down before him, and shouting with a loud voice, he said, "What business do we have with each other, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I implore you by God, do not torment me." For he had been saying to him, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And he was asking him, "What is your name?" And he said to him, "My name is Legion, for we are many." And he began to implore him earnestly not to send him out of the country. You know, I want you to think about the things in your life and where your life is and the troubles that you have. And they seem insurmountable. Most of us get to a place where the stuff just seems like it's too much. We just can't handle it. Or we want to just pull the sheets back up over our head and continue our day there, because if we do that, nothing can affect us, right? Wrong. It's already affected you. I want you to think about this gentleman. Here he is, living a life, living among the tombs, living in a graveyard, all right? He was simply walking dead, is what this is telling us. He was walking dead because he knew not God, and he was filled with demonic spirits. How much of our world are walking dead and they don't know it? Satan wants you to be among that number. Satan wants your problems to be so unsurmountable that all you do is cry out day and night, day and night, day and night. Do you think God hears you? Yes, He hears you. In fact, God is there to move. But we have to see beyond our problem in order for God to move. Most of us get so stuck in our problem that we can't see beyond it. I want you to think about Jesus. I alluded to it earlier. Jesus saw the cross. Remember, three times in the garden, He prayed to have that cup taken away from Him. And He prayed the better prayer, "Yet not my will, but thy will be done, O Father." Because He understood that beyond that cross that He had to get through was a glory that was far beyond anything He could imagine in human form. Remember, Christ is eternal. Jesus was before all things. Nothing was created without Him that was made. That's 1 John. Okay? Or that's John 1, excuse me. John 1, 2, and 3. Nothing that has been made without Him. Okay? So He was here. He was, when it says in the beginning was God, and God said, that was Jesus. He is the spoken word. And He was here. He saw it all. He knows it all. But yet, Jesus in the garden sweat as drops of blood. Do you think He had a problem? Yeah. Was it bigger than God? No. I want you to understand that. I don't care where your problem is. I don't care what it's leading you to. You need to see through it. What's the purpose for it? What's it going to bring? Why is it here? Is this thing here to change me? Is it to bring restoration? Is it to bring discipline? What's it for? Where is it leading me? Because when you see beyond the place where you are, you're seeing beyond yourself, and you're seeing into the heart of God. Remember, God has to be our focus. God has to be our vision. I want you to look at this scripture, because whether you believe it or not, who did the demons recognize? They recognized Jesus. They called Him out as the Son of God. For heaven's sakes, His own problem saw beyond itself. Are we willing to allow God to give us that insight to see beyond our own problem? That there is something better on the other side, but we've got to get through this thing in order to receive it. Victorious living does not mean you're not going to have problems, okay? If you think it does, I don't know what Kool-Aid you bought, but it was the wrong flavor, all right? Because God Himself, through His Word, has said to us, in this world you will have light and momentary troubles. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm going through some of my light and momentary troubles, they feel like they weigh a ton. And rightly so, because we are temporal beings. We are not eternal. But if we saw things from God's side, how big do you think that problem would really be? That's why God needs to be our vision. Christ needs to be our focus, because He's beyond all this stuff. Those demons that this man had in him, when they saw Christ coming, they didn't run away from Him. That's the fun part. That's the fun part. They didn't run away from Him. They could have just fled and went, you know, taking this guy away. But they knew they couldn't flee Him. There was a destiny that was getting ready to take place. And it ran right up to it. Have you ever felt like your problems have run right up to you and just keep smacking you in the face? There's a reason for that. Because you see, God wants every difficulty that comes into your life to come into your life. Now, I'm not saying God sins. Please don't hear me saying that. But God knows how to turn bad into good. How many of you know the book of Romans? How many of you know Romans chapter 8, verse 28? To those who love Him, God works all, not some, not many, all things to good. Woo. How does your problem seem now? When you look at the fact that God wants this thing in your life to do something, to accomplish a work, are you going to live victoriously in it and praise Him even though you can't walk? She ain't even looking at me. Are you going to praise Him when you have nothing else on your mind but that thing that won't go away? Are you going to praise Him when all you have is pain and anguish of heart? How easy is that? But we need to understand something. From this very scripture, I need you to understand. Do you realize your pain, your problems, recognize God already? The things that are because God, period. Everything that comes into your life already knows God. Every situation, every circumstance, no matter what it is, already knows God because God is controller over all of it. We don't see into the spiritual. We only see this physical realm. And sometimes I wish we could see into the spiritual, but if we did, we would try to manipulate it as a human culture, wouldn't we? So I'm glad we can't, because we'd have a much worse place. Because if we could see the spiritual things, our world, our sin, people in this world because of sin, would manipulate the evil or try to, and it would be even worse. But as we see this scripture, the evil recognizes God, and it literally bows down to Him. Do you see that happening here? This man came running up to him, down on his knees, in a loud voice, screaming. I want you to understand, your problem knows who is there to defeat it. Your problem knows who is there to get you through it. Are you going to recognize that one? And are you going to call upon that name and rely on that strength to get you through it? Because I'll guarantee you, if you do, no matter what comes at you, you are going to be able, you know, and I think it's so funny, because we all have these little things that we say, these little ditties that we say, these little idioms, okay? And one of them by one of our dear saints, and I have taken it and claimed it as one of my own, and it is, nothing will rob my joy. Nothing will rob my joy. Because I know, no matter where I am, God is going to get me through this to see a better day. But I need to get through this because I have something to learn. I have something to grow through. I have a place where God wants to teach me about Himself and His faithfulness to me and His desire for me. I may not like where I am. Do you think the demoniac, this gentleman, do you think he enjoyed having over 2,000 demons in him? Not being able to make one conscious decision on his own? Could you imagine what his mind was like with 2,000 demons in there pulling him in every direction? That was nothing but pure torment, day after day after day. How many of us fret over one thing in our lives that's out of place? I don't know about you, but I think about poor people. What's it called? OCD? Obsessive compulsive disorder people? I think about people like that, and I feel for them, because if one thing in their life is not in place, their whole life is turned upside down, okay? I know there's a gentleman here who likes to mess with a young lady who has OCD, a little bit of it anyhow, and he goes into the office and he moves stuff on her desk. Yeah, she's looking at him right now. And he's blushing terrible. But I want you to think about how those little things pull us away from the focus of God and His joy and His love and His peace and His understanding Do you realize they're meant to? That's what they're sent to us for. But God wants you to use them to focus it back on Him, to draw it back to Him. Living the victorious life means recognizing whose you are. That's the point that I want you to understand here from this scripture. Even the demons recognized whom they would answer to. And they came running. They could not flee. They came running. So when you're thinking about your life and just how hard it is, can Jesus help you get through it? Turn in your Bibles. Keep a finger there because we're coming back. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews chapter 2. And we're going to be in verses 14 through 18. Because I want you to have this promise as we are going through this scripture today. I want you to remember something that no one can take away from you if you'll hang on to it. Remember, it's up to you. You have to hang on to it. All right? To live a victorious life, this is one of the principles. This is one of the precepts that you must hold on to daily. From verse 14 in Hebrews chapter 2. Therefore, since the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise also partook of the same, that through death he might render powerless him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and might free those who through fear of death were subject to slavery all their lives. For assuredly he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendants of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brethren in all things, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For since he himself was tempted in that which he had suffered, he is able to come to the aid of those who are tempted. Do you realize that the horrible things that come into your life are temptations to draw you away from the heart and love of God? We don't look at it that way, do we? We look at them as, well, that's not a temptation. That's not a sin to have a back problem, right? It's not a sin. What you do with it can become a sin, okay? It's not a problem that you have a teenager who doesn't listen. None of us have ever had one of them, okay? That's not a sin unless you do something stupid with it, okay? We need to understand that these temptations are going to come to draw us away. It's what we do with it that is going to give us victory or defeat. So when you're looking at these problems, if you make them unsurmountable, you know, my mom used to tell me, and you all know I love these little idioms when I was a kid. I love to throw them out there, bring them back, give them a little bit more life for another generation. You're making mountains out of molehills. Because I'll tell you right now, when we were kids, it was the little thing. Oh, Bobby called me names. Boy, if it were only that bad when you became an adult, right? But we would make a mountain out of every molehill in our lives. And I think it's funny because you think about it, you know, we're looking at this problem and it's about this high. But yet when we're looking at it, it looks like the Rocky Mountains. It looks like Mount Everest and we're never going to get over it. God doesn't want you to get over it. He wants you to get through it. Now let me ask you a question. Which is harder, to go over a mountain or to go through a mountain? I don't care which one you look at, they're both difficult. If you're going to go over it, you got to be prepared. You've got to get all the preparations made to make that high climb. And when you get to the top and you see victory, then you got to come down the other side. And what's on the other side? A valley. Oh, man, that means there's another hill on the other side, doesn't it? The awesome thing is, when we get through it, you're making level paths. Whoa, what? Whoa, what? You know, we sing that song. We say that scripture that we are to make level paths, all right? That's what God is talking about, that we don't let these highs affect us. We don't let the lows affect us. We raise up every valley, and we bring every mountain low in the Lord Jesus Christ. Man, I got goosebumps. Is anybody else getting this stuff? Because we need to understand, when we look at our lives and we see these low places, God doesn't want us in the swamp. He wants us to realize that we are on the highway of life. So he wants to raise up that valley, but we got to get through it. And you know what that means? That means taking this mountain over here, knocking it down, and filling the valley in. You're going to go through those highs, and you're going to go through those lows. And when you do, use the highs to fill in the lows. Take what you've already gone through and use it as the fodder to get you through where you are now. Now, this poor guy didn't have any of that because he didn't know God, did he? You and I have. So we've got an advantage. Why aren't we taking use of the advantage? I have no idea. But we need to understand Jesus took advantage of it all because he came in bodily form, so that he would suffer all things as we have suffered, that we could understand, and that he could make the better gift. Excuse me, he's the creator. Why did he have to take on flesh? He took on flesh on our behalf. That it could not be said of him that he did not know. I want you to understand that. Did God have to take on flesh? No. He did it for our sake. He did it for our sake and for the sake of his own witness, that he, God Almighty, could stand and speak to every situation with authority. And that's what he's going to do in your life if you will allow him through these places of trial and tribulation. Turn back to the book of Mark, because this guy wasn't done. We left him with a whole bunch of demons in him. And we're going to look at this next portion. And there's actually two pieces to this next portion, because I want you to look at how things are handled. When Jesus steps in, when God comes into the picture, what transpires and how things react. From verse 11, it says, "Now there was a large herd of swine feeding nearby on the mountain." Whew, isn't that a beautiful picture? Isn't that a beautiful picture? Okay, we're speaking about these mountains that we got to get over. And what's on the mountain? A bunch of pigs. All right? "The demons implored him, saying, 'Send us into the swine so that we may enter them.' Jesus gave them permission. And coming out, the unclean spirits entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the sea, about 2,000 of them, and they were drowned in the sea. The herdsmen ran away and reported it to the city and in the country, and the people came to see what it was that had happened. They came to Jesus and observed the man who had been demon-possessed, sitting down, clothed, and in his right mind, the very man who had the legion, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it described to them how it had happened to the demon-possessed man, and all about the swine, and they began to implore him to leave their region." Man, I'm telling you, if this is not atypical of what happens in our lives, but I'll get to that last section in a moment. The first section is what I want to deal with immediately. As we look at this, these demons, I want you to think about this, these demons entered a bunch of pigs. Jesus said, "Yep, go ahead, enter into those pigs," and they rushed down over the hill and jumped into the sea and were drowned. Why did that happen? You know, it was funny, because that was one of our questions in the Bible study. And guess what? I swear to you, God gave me this answer, because I looked it up in all the different, commentaries that I have. And everybody was like, well, we really don't know. Well, we really don't know. And then there's guesses, okay? I think this is funny because the scriptures actually tell us. If you look here, if you go back and you look, and it says, and they implored him, okay? The demons were imploring Jesus not to torment them. That Jesus actually said to him, and this is amazing to me, I implore you by God. Whoa, what? They knew who they were speaking to. I implore you by God not to torment us. Demons who had literally turned their back on God were now calling upon God. Okay? They were being mocked, they were mocking him is what they were doing. Okay? Your problems in life are going to mock you. The things that happen in your life, it's going to seem like all this stuff is coming down on you. It's mocking you. I'm a good person. I try so hard. And it just seems like you can't get out from under. That's the demonic influence in our lives trying to get you to think God has left you, that they are in control. But yet they know, they understand God is in control. And that's what Christ is showing us right here with this scripture. Because they implored him, oh, send us into the pigs that we might live. Jesus said to them, go into the pigs. But guess what? Jesus then sent the pigs down the hill to their destruction. You need to remember everything is under the control of God Almighty, and it comes to his end, what he deems necessary. The demons could not thwart him through promises or negotiation. You cannot thwart God's plans through negotiation. Oh, but God, if you'll do this, I'll never drink again. We've never prayed that prayer. You need to understand, God is the God of all things. These demons literally thought that they could negotiate an existence with God. In the end, all things that are against God will be destroyed. And this is a precursor to that very reality for all of us to understand. This is a very real teaching from the Christ himself, that evil cannot control him, cannot influence him. He is the ultimate judge. I think it's funny because it says in here, do not torment us. He didn't torment them. He brought judgment because he is the judge. All right? Please remember, this is pre-cross. And he was dealing with people outside of Jerusalem. He was not dealing with the Jews, first to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. But when he went here, these demons confronted him. He needed to show his authority to us and to all the world. And he did for the first time. He showed us that he is the God of the beginning and the God of the end. Because he took these demons who had been fallen and he cast them out. Not did he cast them out. He cast them into hell where they are now bound until the very end of time. You and I need to understand your problem is not bigger than God. God has the final word over everything that comes into your life. Are you going to trust him and allow him to speak into your problem, to address your problem directly, and then allow from him to happen what's going to happen so that you can be free from the very thing that you fear most? Brothers and sisters, he is the final word. And his final word is peace. What did he say to us? Peace. My peace I give you. Whew. If there's not power in those words, there's no power at all. If you want to live that victorious life, you have got to hear those words of Christ. Peace I give you. My peace I give you. Not as the world gives you. Because he's talking a peace that lasts forever and ever and ever. If we're going to live that victorious life, we have to claim that now. Even in the midst of our struggle, we still got to get through this thing. And if we have peace with God, getting through it is going to be so much easier. I'm going to pull out a real life thing. It just happened just this past week. I went to see Martha a week ago tomorrow. When I went to see her, I took communion. before we took communion, I asked her, I said, Martha, I said, how are you doing? She said, I'm tired. I said, you ready to go home? You know, pastor speaks right. I'm straight, okay? I don't play games with people. I said, are you ready to go home? I said, and you do realize I'm not talking your apartment. I said, we're beyond that. She said, yeah, I know. She said, no, I'm ready. I'm tired. I'm ready. She said, I want to go home. There was a woman who saw past the greatest mountain that all of us will have to get through. She didn't climb it. She got through it. And she is now in glory. And she is up there praising God the Father. She is bringing glory. She's visiting with her husband, Orville. She's up there saying, oh, Mickey! She's visiting with her mom and her dad and the relatives that have gone before her, and she is experiencing a greater love than any of us could know. But that woman had to look at that unsurmountable problem. And she saw one end. And that end was her Savior, Jesus the Christ. And she accepted that, and she walked directly into His loving arms. The things that we're going to get ourselves into here in this world will not surmount to anything until that great and fateful day when we reach that final end. I've been there 7 times, and 7 times I literally gave up the ghost, as it says in scriptures. I gave up the ghost to the Lord, and I said to Him, I'm done, I'm yours, take me home. And every time I did that, He sent me back. Evidently, I wasn't ready. It's kind of like a cake. You stick a toothpick in it, and when it comes out gooey, you shove it back in the oven, right? Well, I must have had a lot of goo yet because He sent me back 7 times. And I know that the life I have is not my own, but my life is to be given unto God and given unto God into His church, into your lives, to prepare you to take the message of the gospel out into this world, to get through the things that you're going through even now. Whatever they are, whatever they are, God is in control. He has the final word. He is the author of life and now of death. Okay? He's not the author of death. He's the keeper of death. He holds the keys to death. All right? The author of death is Satan. And Satan still authors death. But the day will come when death will be destroyed itself, and there will be no more death. No one will die ever again. And the keys of death will be thrown into the lake of fire because there will be no need for them anymore. And are we going to accept that truth and that reality? I'll guarantee you these demons did. The second thing I want you to see out of this scripture is the second half of it. Because it says in there that you know, I'm going to paraphrase this because I already ran out of time. You're kidding me. Boy, that went quick. Wow, I must be preaching. I got to get myself a little bit better set of notes. Well, you know what? Since we're at the end, we're going to have to continue. But I'm going to tell you right now, I want you to look at verse 14 through verse 17. And I'm going to end with this. It says in there that the herdsmen came and they looked and they marveled over this thing, right? But then what did they do? They told him to leave. The answer to all their problems was standing right in front of them. And what did they do? They asked him to leave. So I'm going to end with this. And we'll pick up next week on this very same topic right there. When God does show up And you all know I'm laughing on the inside when I say that, because God's always there. It's when you finally recognize him. Are you going to invite him in, or are you going to cast him out? I want you to read that piece of scripture, because I'll guarantee you it'll change the way you look at your problems. And if you want to live a victorious life, there's only one answer to that question. But you have to choose it. So we're going to let off there, and then we'll pick up next time when we get back together, because I ran out of time. I must really be long-winded, or that was a good sermon, because I don't even remember preaching half that long. You know, I was told one time a long time ago, you can preach long if it's good. How does that? Doesn't matter how long you preach if it's good, but if it's bad, it better be short. That's how it goes. Doesn't matter how long you preach if it's good, but if it's bad, it better be short. So I'm going to pray that was a good one, all right? Let's pray. Father God, I do thank you that you enter into our situations. You come in, and our situations even acknowledge you. They see you coming before we do. Because, Lord, we are just like this demoniac. We are out of control, and our situations are in control. But may we, through the heart and spirit that you have placed in us, see you and call out your name. Because in so doing, Lord, we will find that victorious life, and we will find health and healing. Father God, I pray for every person here and every person that's watching this day. Because, Lord God, I want them to receive their victories. I want them to live in victory in every situation. And, Lord, I know there are going to be moments where they're going to forget. And that's okay, as long as they remember the next time, as Brother Dan says, you're okay until next time. So, Lord, may our next time be right now, that we think upon you, that we receive your grace and your mercy and your goodness and your joy and your peace, and we live in that moment. Because, Lord God, that's what our lives are. We can't relive the past. We can't move into the future. We've only got this present. And may we hold on to you in it, that we may live the victorious life. In Christ Jesus, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA, 17083.